Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide and Young Hollywood Actors. And today my guest on the Hometown to Hollywood podcast is Pamela Fisher. Pamela is vice president of Abrams Artists Agency and head of their Emerging Talent Division. Full disclosure, I've been blessed to have Pam in my life for over 8 years because she is also my daughter Dove's agent. Pamela, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. It's a thrill to be here.
Thank you for taking the time. This is the middle of pilot season for anybody listening, and it's an especially busy time right now.
I don't stop for anyone but Bonnie.
Oh. Well, I want to start back a little bit with your roots. You fell in love with musical theater, I believe, when you were a little girl growing up in New York, and I'd like you to tell me a little bit about that. Do you think that influences your work today?
I do. Very, very sad story because I really just wanted to be Annie on Broadway and, you know, it just didn't happen. And so terribly bitter about that. No, but for real, I think that musical theater is a wonderful foundation. I think theater in general is so good for kids to participate in school, whether they're interested in moving forward in this crazy business or not, because I think it teaches wonderful skills about collaboration, working together, helping kids to overcome fear of talking in front of each other and getting up in front of each other. And I could list skills for days. So I think it's a wonderful thing to get involved in to begin with. But if you are interested in moving forward career-wise, I think it can be an important foundation. And so for me, it introduced me to, it sparked a love for this industry. So I didn't end up on the stage, but I had a lot of experience. I went to Stage Door Manor Theater Camp, which was an incredible experience for me growing up. And I did shows throughout high school and throughout middle school and even a little bit in elementary school. And so for me, it really did spark that interest. And I moved forward with a career. I mean, it really introduced me to what I ended up doing in the future, even though it wasn't on stage. Mm-hmm. So important. And I think Dove was the same.
She was. She fell in love with musical theater through our local community theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it instilled all of those same principles for her.
Agreed.
So when did you decide to move out of performing and then into other parts of the business? And how did that happen?
I think that I experienced an odd thing on stage one day where I had forgotten some lyrics and I had a lot of anxiety. And I also didn't enjoy the audition process. And what I learned is that the job is auditioning. I thought the job was performing. And while that is a lovely icing on the cake, it's going in rooms and leaving good work and making fans. And the rest of it comes later on where you actually get to perform or shoot something. And you need to fall in love with that process.
The audition process.
So you must make friends with it, and you have to fall in love with it and enjoy it, because this is your 2 minutes to sing your song or to get in front of people and start to enjoy getting around town and meeting the different casting directors and getting to know their offices and their studios and where they are. And I found that I didn't enjoy that process. And so it was a wake-up call to me that this was not the right career for me. So for a while, I started to think about what it was that I wanted to do, and I ended up running a program at an elementary school with a friend who was a teacher at a New York City elementary school, and we were talking about the fact that there wasn't a lot of theater for these kids, and there wasn't an outlet for them, and the public school system just doesn't always financially allow for the arts. So we wanted to be able to bring that, and we did, in the form of an after-school program and a show that we did together. And we then started to do that in a more formal way. We started a company together that I ran in New York that taught theater to kids, produced off-Broadway workshops with kids, and eventually did a Mommy and Me program based in musical theater, doing what I loved. And that was the business that ended up leading me to what I do today.
Mm.
Agents casting directors would come to the classes and asked us to identify what talent they thought would be good to audition. And I was able to identify it with alarming accuracy over and over again. And a friend said, you know what, I think you really should be an agent. This is what would marry together all of the skills, all of the things that you've done in your industry so far. I think this would lead really well to being an agent and developing talent. And so we took a leap of faith and moved to California. I had an offer, and here we are.
And I think they were right.
It's been great.
So what do you think makes for a great agent?
It depends on what, you know, there's so many different divisions now. I can see it here at Abrams alone, my goodness, between personal appearances and digital and the type of talent that you represent, you know, from talents, you know, who are writers or producers or reality stars, unscripted. It's just, it's huge. So I think that it's important for an actor to be looking for the number one thing, somebody who believes in you. It's number one. It really, it's not the name on the door. I love Abrams, but any agency that really, really believes in you, if they're the biggest agency or the smallest agency, that's what makes a good agent. Passion. You have to love it because it's hard. It's hard. It's a 24/7 job.
Yeah, that's the truth for anybody in this industry in any capacity, as mm-hmm. far as I can tell.
Passion.
How can you tell if an actor has that thing that we call, you know, it, you know, the star quality thing?
I can't always tell. I can't always. I mean, you know, you see the list of my successes, and I'm very happy to put that in front of me. But what you don't see are the list of the people who walked out of my office that I didn't sign who ended up becoming famous. So I wish that I could tell you how perfect I am, but I'm not, because this industry is all about, I mean, this is what makes horse racing. There's different tastes. There's different, I probably would cast someone different in a role than you might cast in a role. And there's different opinions that play in. And we see this when we're in pilot season and the network has a choice and the producers have a choice and the director has a choice and the studio has a choice. And perhaps they're all different choices. So it's different tastes coming together. So I can't always tell. I'm not always right. If I didn't select your child at the showcase, it doesn't mean that they're not talented. It doesn't. I'm not the be-all and end-all, and any agent that tells you that they are, they're wrong. So if you know that you've got it, if you know your child has it, continue along the journey. You know, and you know that from your story of Mud Girl. You couldn't even get Mud Girl. And that could have been seen as an indicator that your child just didn't have what it takes. But you believed. There's a blind faith. There's something that lives inside of us that lets us know we're doing the right thing and we're following the right path. And you have to continue that. So to circle back to the question, when I meet someone, I get a feeling. I'm trained to have a response to a talent, and I respond to it. And sometimes it doesn't look like what it looks like by the time it reaches your television set. And that is why we develop. That's what a developmental agent is. We have to see what the end game would look like and use our imagination, and then we just sort of, you know, nurture it along the journey. But for us, it's a response to what we're seeing, and there's nothing that I can tell you, like XYZ or write it down, that we're looking for. It's just something that you see and respond to. And I've learned to trust that instinct.
And you know it when you see it, and you're not always right.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's good, because I mean, I think that there are people who they really pin their hopes on being represented by a particular agent or a particular agency, and if they, you know, have the good fortune to even get in front of that agent at that agency, and then they get passed on, you know, it can feel just devastating. It can feel like it's over. I should just, you know, hang it up, go home, go do the other thing. But it's just not necessarily true. I mean, I know you've passed on some great people, and not because you even didn't believe in them or think that they had something promising, but because you already had X number of people in that category.
Correct. That's correct. Like when you're looking at a roster, you realize that you've made a commitment to those people. So if I've made a commitment to the five people in a particular category, that means I'm really going to work to develop them. I believe in them. I feel there's something special and I'm going to work hard to develop them. If I then sign another seven people in that same category, who's going to get the attention? Who's going to get that special attention when we're on the phone with casting directors and we're pushing those top three, four, or five people? And it's just not fair. So sometimes it's very painful because we see people who are talented, but we just don't have the space on the roster. We know that we're not going to be able to give them that special attention that gets them in every room, opens up every door, and it wouldn't be fair to them. And it would look awful for us because then people would go around town saying that we're not getting our kids in the room. We're not getting our kids out and we're not getting our talent out, and we never want that to happen. So when we make the commitment, you should know that an agent is signing you because they really feel that they can work for you and work hard and making a big investment, and that if they say no, it could have something to do with the fact that their roster just does not have the space.
Yeah, and that's an integrity issue too, and that really does serve the people that you've already got represented. And so it really does go both ways. Mm-hmm. You know, the same people who might complain like, oh, you know, I wanted to sign with so-and-so, but, you know, they had too many of my type. It's like, you know what, though? If you were in that portfolio, you'd
absolutely
be very grateful that somebody said, no, mm-hmm, I'm going to just protect and fight for who I have.
And also, if you don't find yourself represented, don't be afraid to circle back to that agency again if that's really your dream place for whatever reason. Because the list changes.
Yep.
The list changes. And also as people are working, it changes. So if those five people in your category are all on series, I have no one to pitch for a new series. So perhaps my list has opened up at that point. And it has a lot to do with that as well.
That is a great point. What do you do on a daily basis as a theatrical agent? What does that look like?
So I spend the morning submitting. So we come in the morning and I'm part of a team. So it's not just me. I have, you know, other partners in this. And we basically look through the breakdown. So the casting directors break down the roles in their script. So for episodic television, that looks like a much smaller amount of breakdowns because they are... usually the script isn't ready for an episode yet, so it's more just them saying, we are going to need this. But for movies, they actually really give you a lot of information and they break down the scripts exactly, and we get those and we look through them. We have a service that we get them electronically, and we look through and we think about who we think would be right on our roster for them, and we submit them electronically. And then we follow up by calling and emailing the casting director, and they get on the phone with us and they go through. That's usually more in the afternoon. They go through the list and they say, well, we see you submitted this person, but really it's a little bit more like this. Or your submission's leaning to, you know, super dark-haired people and we're looking for this type of person. Or we need this type of ethnicity, or we need someone a little quirkier here, whatever it is. So we have those discussions and then we actually get the appointment. And then we send you out, and then we make the deal if you are lucky enough and fortunate enough to book it. Now, that's at the breakdown level. At the non-breakdown level, because we have a lot of high-level clients who are now working beyond that, we're speaking to studio and networks about what projects they have upcoming, and then we will try to tell them what talent we have that we think would be right. So that's why sometimes someone like Dove will end up in a job that no one knew even existed yet, because they hadn't put out a breakdown yet, or they hadn't been looking yet, because we've had that early discussion. And that happens later on. So for us, we're in the development game, but then we also have highly established clientele as well that we're fortunate enough to continue to represent. And so we work a little differently at that level.
And you also spend time, you visit sets and...
That's part of it as well, yes. I go to visit sets and performances, and, you know, servicing the client plays into it. So then once you've booked the role, if you're on a movie in Vancouver, we're coming to Vancouver to go visit you.
Or if you're doing an off-Broadway show in New York.
If you're going to do an off-Broadway show, can you tell who we're talking about? We're going to be there. Of course, we want to see you achieve. I mean, those are the exciting parts about it. The hours are so long and the... You know, part of it is feels like sales, but when you when you see a client that you've worked with for so many years achieving like that, and you get to go and sit in the audience or sit on the set and be a part of it, it really is such a wonderful thing.
Well, and you're speaking to something that's really unique, I think, about your position in this industry, is that, yes, it is a professional relationship, but it also ultimately can become a very, very personal relationship.
It is one of the oddest relationships in business, because you do walk that line in between personal and professional, and I don't think there are many careers that do that. And so I will say it is a very unusual type of job that is both professional and personal. And so you have to walk that line, because you don't want to get too personal in a way that doesn't feel appropriate. And you want to make sure that you know everything you can, because it makes you better as an agent. When I know every little thing about a client, it helps me to pitch them.
Yeah. When you know that somebody has been dying to be in light in the piazza since mm-hmm. they were 10.
That is correct.
And then you hear that they might be doing a revival of it. You put an inquiry
that
out.
That is correct. You know,
it's
and getting
amazing.
In front of those things, you know, being able to mm-hmm. say to a casting director, you know, or somebody who's actually done the show, or one of the creatives, you know, if this ever becomes a show again, or if you'd ever think of doing a musical out of this or a live one, and putting that in their head, when, you know, it's only possible if the client has let you into their most secret dreams, so that you're able to help them come about.
Well, and it's also only possible if you have those relationships on mm-hmm. the other side of the mm-hmm. equation, where you have the ear of somebody, you know, who's a huge producer or
yeah.
a creator or something like that.
That's true.
So that's the special niche that you occupy.
That is true.
What are some of the more challenging things about being a youth theatrical agent, and what are some of the best things? Because it's a very special niche.
It is. Like, I would say that getting to do what we just discussed, which is be a part of it, when you're working with young talent, you represent not just the talent, but families. We get to know the parents, we get to know the family well, as I've been lucky enough to get to know you, Bonnie. And so part of the joy, and I think I spoke about this when we talked for the book, but I have to reiterate it, because it is truly one of the most joyful things. I cannot think of something more exciting than gathering my team around the speakerphone and yelling, "You booked it," to a young talent on the other end for their first job. And knowing that you've made a difference in that, it makes the long hours on the other end of it worthwhile. And we have talent sometimes that we usher along for years that don't have a lot of bookings along the way, but we know and we believe and we keep fighting and we keep going, and it makes the achievement at the end so much greater and so much more exciting. It is magical to be there at the beginning when it is fresh and new and untainted by this crazy industry. And the dream is exciting like that. It is I'm beyond grateful that I get to be a part of the talent's lives and their families at that time, because you get to nurture it along and see it to its fulfillment. So it's, I think, a little more magical. You know, I don't mean to say anything bad about agents that are not developing. And we've been lucky to develop the talent to the point now where we're considered emerging talent, and even we've been more integrated into the adult division, because Jordan Fisher grew up.
I was going to say.
Dove Cameron grew up, and Jessica Garcia, and Chrissy Pitt, you know. And as these actors are entering their late 20s, and so, not that I'm outing my ages of my clients, but we've sort of seen that world as well. And so we're blessed that we've been able to stay a part of their lives and see it to the eventual success. So the dark parts are the long hours, you know. My husband at 9 o'clock last night, or the night before, texted me and said, "Are you coming home tonight? Are you?"
And you were at your desk
yeah.
still.
"Are you going to?" And so pilot season, the hours are long. My phone is always on. I have to answer calls at all sorts of crazy hours. It's just crazy. So those are the parts that are more difficult, mm-hmm. but the parts that make it worthwhile far outweigh them.
Yeah, we've had some amazing moments together.
We've had some late nights, some early mornings.
We've had all of it. I mean, and I've thought about this a lot over the years now. You know, there's nobody I would rather have had at my side, and that's how I feel. And that's, I mean, to me, that's the ideal thing for a parent to be able to say about their kid's agent, like, this person is at my side. This person is my partner, you know, and we have been through some trenches together.
It does. Things happen. Look, you know, hopefully whoever's listening will travel along their road without incident. But things happen sometimes. Things go wrong on set. There could be an injury. We've had situations where, you know, people don't know what to do. They've come to my child. They're going to shave their head. They've come to my child. They're going to dye their hair. They've come to them. They're going to put them in a situation that I don't feel comfortable with, where they're in a harness and they're going to be lifted in a way that I don't feel I was consulted. Or it can be one of a million things. There's a set teacher issue. I mean, the set teacher is such an important job. It's really your policeman. It's the person who's looking out for your child's welfare when they're on set. It's they're looking out for their hours and making sure that all the laws are being adhered to, and not to mention their education. And so, you know, these days there's tax credits all over the world. So we're sending our clients to Utah, Vancouver, Atlanta, Texas. I have clients shooting in Arizona. I'm not there. I can't make the set visit so easily every day. So it's important to know that you have a team member that you can get on the phone if there's something, because I know that often people feel silly. I feel silly. I don't want to call. It's about their hair, the haircut. How can I bother my representation at 7 a.m. because of this silly issue? So you want to feel that when you're signing with someone that you know you can pick up that phone and turn to them and get an answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and get that incredible support. And as you say, the flip side is that there are also, you know, if you're fortunate, some really beautiful high moments that you get to share as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which we certainly have.
Oh, yes.
What advice do you have for parents of extremely young kids who have these big hopes that their kids will be actors? We're talking about kids who are, you know, too young to really have much of a say in it.
Yeah. I mean, when they're too young to have a say in it, it's really not going to hurt them to go out on a commercial. I think commercials and prints are a great place to start because there's a lot of waiting around and long lines, and you can see how your child responds in that situation. If it's stressful for your child that they're on set, that they're in front of people, that the lights are bright and that there's a lot of waiting around, and you'll know, you'll get the message that this may not be the right thing for them, or maybe it's not the right thing for them at this particular time and age. Maybe next year things will, you know how kids change from year to year. So a 4-year-old can withstand things in a different way than a 5 or 6-year-old can. So I would say you really need to take the cue from your child, which is difficult because I know you see them in the house and they're so wonderful and so cute and talented, and everyone tells you at the grocery store, your child should be in movies and pictures. And, you know, we hear this. So I know it's hard and it's difficult, but, you know, give it a shot. Take a look. See if there's a print agency or a youth commercial division, because TV and film, as you see, there's not a ton of 3-year-olds on movies and on television. The hours are different once they reach 6, 7, 8, and 9 even. And that's usually when they're more viable for TV and film. So I would say make sure to have a really good look inside yourself and make sure that your dream and your child's dream are aligned. And I know that's hard. And we hear it all the time, but make sure, just check yourself for a second, and then see how your kid is on set. They'll let you know by their behavior if they're able to handle it or not. And some young talent just thrive in that environment. They just thrive in it, and others really don't. And so you never want a minor to be in a position that's uncomfortable for them, you know, a position that makes them feel unhappy or uncomfortable. So I think just being in tune with your own child, they'll let you know, they'll give you the cues.
That's so true.
Yeah.
They do. conversely, on the flip side, what would you tell a 22-year-old actor, say, who just finished college, maybe a 4-year degree in, say, theater of some sort, and they're coming to LA to pursue a career as an actor? Mm-hmm. Should they still consider signing with a youth agent? How would you advise them to position themselves?
So some colleges have showcases where agents go. And so that's really exciting for those league schools and colleges that have showcases, because then you're visited by lots of agents and managers and you get callbacks or opportunities to meet with them and hopefully offers to be represented. At that point, you really want to do your homework. You want to look at the clients on their roster. You want to speak to any friends who might be represented by those agencies. And, you know, kind of research what you can, just to make sure that they're reputable. And I just want to reiterate here and anywhere that I ever speak that any agent or manager that asks for money up front is always something that you should really run the other direction from. That's not how representation works. They take a percentage, hopefully 10%. They take a percentage of what you make. So if you're not working, then your agent or your manager is not earning money. And that is really something important to look for. So having said that, hopefully that's the route you've gone. If not, and you've just landed, you're going to want to look as much as you can. You can either look up Central Casting and try to do some extra work, get into lots of classes. There are casting director workshops to get to. There are agent workshops to get to here in Los Angeles that you can be a part of. Be seen as much as you can in whatever local theater you can do. You can get backstage and sign up LA Casting and Breakdown Services. It's fine to do a student film, particularly if it's a graduate student, because those students are going to graduate and be tomorrow's filmmakers. So whatever you can do to get yourself out there and seen and to work on your craft.
And then in terms of the youth agent versus the regular theatrical agent.
It depends. We're a hybrid here, so we work with adults as well. And so I think that you have to make sure that it's someone that... So for our division, they may not be coming to my division for, you know, young 40-year-old dad or that, but they are still coming for the 20s and 30s and the young talent here. So make sure that it is a division like that that's either doing emerging talent, and you want someone that's developmental. Mm-hmm. So, you know, no use being signed by a giant agency that's going to drop you in 6 months if you don't make X amount of money. So you want to make sure that it's someone that is developmentally minded, that has the time and the inclination to really get you out as much as possible and hold on to you while you are developing. Because those first couple of times in the room are rough. You're not yourself. You're not doing, you know, you're doing one thing at home in front of the mirror and something else happens in the room. And you know it's going to happen. You're going to stand there and say, I'm not sure. Was I supposed to look at the camera? Was I supposed to look at the reader? Was I supposed to look at the casting director? My face was twitching. My hand was shaking. You know, there's all sorts of things that are going to happen those first four or five. I mean, when we have people, we don't even count those first auditions. That's part of your education. That's part of the learning process. Getting in rooms. What's it like? How do you work the room? All of those things. So, you know, I would encourage people to find agents that are dedicated to longevity.
I like that. I like that. And it's true. And the more auditions you do, like anything else in life, the better you get at mm-hmm. them and the easier they get.
Deb knows when she gets off of a job and then she goes back in the room again. It's like, oh, yeah, there's that muscle.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. We've been talking about that recently, actually. what advice do you have for people who are just trying to get in front of an agent? Like, you know, the biggest hurdle for a lot of us is literally just being seen. And you know that was a real hurdle for us too, mm-hmm, yeah. Just getting in front of you.
What you did was great. You used every single resource that was at your disposal. Every teacher that you knew, anyone you knew who knew, who knew someone, who knew someone, and that's what you have to do. So network as much as you can, definitely classes, because we know the teachers for the classes, and they'll call us sometimes when they have a special talent, and I always see a referral from an acting teacher. So make sure that you know who are the best teachers in town and get in there, and definitely try casting director and agent workshops to get in front as well, and theater is a great way to be seen also.
And there is theater in Los Angeles.
There is. I mean, it's not the same as New York, I'm not going to lie, but there is theater. There is theater here.
Now, just as important, once an actor has an agent, what advice would you have for how to be a good client, an ideal client?
Well, obviously, we are doing our job on our end, so we cannot walk in the room with you, hold your hand. At that point, you're on your own. So what happens in the room is all going to be what we're relying on you, because we're putting our name on the line. We have asked that casting director, hey, I know it's a new face and you haven't had them, they're a new sign, but would you do me a favor and just have them in? It's not the name that's in everyone's hat right now circulating, but we just signed this new great person. Would you have them in? So now we've put ourselves on the line for you, and you have to deliver in that room. So that means being prepared, being coached, being ready, looking dressing correctly for the part. You know, if you're playing a baseball player, don't wear a ball gown to the audition. You know, it's just common sense. But make sure that you know your lines as well as you can, that your face isn't on the page. You're going to present as well as you can. The other things are more housekeeping things. We use a couple of different websites that we submit on, and you have to make sure that you have an up-to-date picture and profile on those sites. Those would be Actors Access, LA Casting, the commercial agents use a different one as well. There's a couple of different sites. And you want to make sure that that material is updated. And I cannot tell you how many times we submit and the casting director pulls up the submission and the resume is not up to date. I thought you said they did this movie. They did. It's not on the resume. It just happens. So that is your homework, to make sure that you have an up-to-date photo. Do not walk in with the photo of you with red hair if you're now blonde. It's the pet peeve of casting. They hate that, to have a surprise that the person who walks in is a shock to them because the picture looks nothing like them. So make sure that they are a representation of who you are right now. And then if you're not who you want to be right now, if you're changing your hair or growing it out or losing weight or bulking up or whatever it is that you're becoming, you still need something that's you right now. You'll get new pictures later when you change. But it's very important. Those are such important tools for us. Casting directors search. They look through. And if you don't have the fact that you windsurf checked off on your special skills, you know, they may be looking through. And I've had it happen before. So make sure that all of that is up to date. Your resume, your special skills, all of your profiles, your picture, your headshot. That's all the housekeeping stuff that you need to do on your end so that we can do our job effectively. And that includes making sure that you cut together a reel if you have some work. As you do it, cut the reel together, update it, give us the tools to use to pitch you in. Because if they say no, I may say, okay, but would you look at a reel and have a look at least? Because I feel strongly that this would be a really good contender for the role. And if you've given me those materials to use, it helps me. It helps me do my job.
What about communication with you as an agent? I have a lot of parents that I talk to and work with, and there's a lot of anxiety about this one, like how much is too much, mm-hmm. how much is not enough, and obviously this is a very individual thing.
I'm afraid to answer because I'm so different that, you know, I am an over-communicator. You can see that by looking at my Facebook page or anything else. I am, a tragic over-communicator. My favorite part is the relationship with the client and with the family, and so I feel I can be of help and I want to answer your questions. There's obviously a line. Please don't show up at my office every day or text me every hour or, you know, but I like to communicate. I think it makes me better. So I want to hear from you. I can't always take every call, but if you leave a message, I'll get back to you. And I'm super fast on email and text. All my clients sadly have my cell phone number. So feel free to reach out. I like it. I enjoy it. I think it makes me better, and I think it's important. I think it's a collaborative effort between the family or the client and myself. And so I find that I tend to be very, very close and accessible. Not everybody can do that, and I get it, because when I talk to you for a half an hour about your child or about whatever, that's a half hour that I wasn't on the phone pitching them. So you want me and prefer me in the trenches working. So it's a better thing for me to not be speaking to you for as long. However, I know that it's important, and I know that you have questions, and I want to be there to answer them. So I like a call, and I don't mind an email afterwards saying they walked out of the room feeling great. Casting director asked them to do it 3 times. I think that information is great to tell your agent. Hey, just wanted to drop you a line to let you know they had him in there longer than anybody else when they went to the audition. Like, whatever it is, I think it's okay. And I think that's something that you have to discuss with your agent and your manager, whether or not it's all right. Because different people feel differently.
Right. And I think personally, that's the bottom line, is like there isn't a straight answer to that. It is entirely individual. And this is your style. Mm-hmm. But some people, they just hate it. Like mm-hmm. they want a minimal amount of communication. So you just, the thing is
because
to get
it's
straight.
Hard. We're busy. And yeah. it is going to keep us here an extra hour at the end of the day because we stop to talk to however many parents during the day. So I understand where that comes from. They're working.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
agents are not trying to cut you out. They're just working.
Trying to get it done for you. Any thoughts about what time of year an actor should try and come out to LA for the first time? We all know a lot of people try and come out for pilot season, but mm-hmm. if you don't have much on IMDb already, that seems a little premature. I feel like episodic seasons may be a better fit
yeah,
for a first time.
Yeah, I think when you're starting out, it might be better an episodic season because of the fact that pilots now are being offered out so much and they're looking to people with heavy credits and... there's so much content now and television programming. People come attached to projects early on. So it might be a little bit disappointing to come out to pilot season. If you have representation, I would check with your agent about it. If not, and you're just coming out for the first time to give it a shot, I would definitely say an episodic season, maybe in the fall, would be better. But I will just let you know the landscape has changed so much. Every day, I see so many new ways to bring and communicate content to consumers. It's absolutely overwhelming that we're doing, you know, that series are on Instagram and Snapchat. We just did a deal with Apple and YouTube Red, and there's Hulu and Facebook. And I mean, it's just crazy. There's content everywhere. And so I feel like the episodic season is not as cut and dry as it used to be. It used to be very clear that, you know, at the end of August, they started to have episodes written and you could come out and have an episodic season. And then I could exactly cut it with a knife that this is pilot season, this last week of January, and then this week of here. But I mean, we're just doing pilots year round. There's content year round. So it's a difficult question to answer. It's a difficult question to answer. But I would say that, you know, the fall is probably a busy time.
Mm-hmm. In a good way.
Mm-hmm. In a good way.
And, of course, movies are cast year-round as
movies
well.
Are cast year-round. That yep. is correct.
What are some of the best things that young actors can do to prepare for success long before they can even consider coming out to L.A.? You know, things that they can do where they are right now mm-hmm. in their hometown, wherever that may be.
Yeah, well, we discussed how great theater is. I think it's just a wonderful thing for you to participate. Get up on stage, do theater, get the foundation, and obviously any training you can get your hands on. Training is key. In fact, if you are coming out to LA, you don't even have to go on auditions. Just train. Come out here and take a couple of workshops and a couple of classes with high level. It's money well spent. It really is. There is no, there's nothing better than training. There's no substitute for good training. And so I think just get into classes. A scene study class where you get to work on scenes against other actors, watch other actors work, because it's great to actually perform a scene, but you learn a lot by watching other actors work. You can see what they're doing, what feels authentic and what doesn't necessarily, and it teaches you. So good scene study classes are really important as well. And I think that audition classes, coaching, all of that, training is number one.
I would even take that a step further, and you know, something that Dove did for years, I don't know how conscious this was or not. I have a feeling it was fairly conscious actually, is she deliberately watched all these movies that were mm-hmm. just top-notch performances in order to really look closely at what's working about this, you
yeah.
know, to internalize that.
It's interesting you say that. Without outing the actress or the casting director, I'll tell you that I had a casting executive at a youth-focused network tell me that there was an actress, a young actress, that they were tracking. So they saw her out of town. They liked her. They kept flying her out to test on pilots. And she was always the bridesmaid and never the bride. She never quite booked the pilot, but they loved her. They loved her. And one year she came in and she just nailed it. Something, the penny had dropped. Something, this happens a lot with young talent. It just, the difference, you could just see it suddenly transform. And the executive said, "What happened? Did you take you know, and she ended up booking two pilots for the network, the same network, because they knew that they would be picking one of them up, and they didn't know which one, but they decided to put her in both to make sure that she got in a show on the network.
That's amazing.
And they said, was it a new class, a new coach? Like, who did you switch coaches? What did you do? And she said, honestly, I started watching Friends, and I watched Jennifer Aniston, and I studied her because I thought she had such a great way of turning a phrase and the way that she responded to things in her acting. And I just studied her, and not that she copied her, but that she incorporated that style of into it, and it helped. It made it all just click in for her. And so I agree 100% with what you're saying.
That's a great story. Any other advice for actors or for parents of young actors or anything else you'd like to share?
No, I think, you know, being prepared is a great key. Being open in this business, you know, to go with the flow. You may think you want this agent, but this is what comes along, or this type of show and this is what comes along. I mean, you see, you know, what we ended up with for Your Daughter wasn't exactly what we were going after in the early stages, but that's what came along, and we were open to it because you just never know. You just never know. You put your feet, set your feet upon a path in a direction, and then see where it takes you. And it could be someplace completely different, but equally as fulfilling. So be open to it and ask a lot of questions and really take the cue from your child. Make sure it's their dream.
And make sure it continues to be, because it can be their dream. And then, you know, one day after X number of years and everything invested, that dream can change.
So I really applaud you and all of our parents, because some of them, they break up their families to travel across the country to come out for pilot season or episodic season. I'm amazed at the commitment and the sacrifice that is made for these kids by their families and by their parents, what they do. And so I'm always so touched by it. But I will say that you want to make sure that you're doing it, obviously, for the right reasons, and that you're coming out prepared and ready to go, because you don't want to waste that precious time.
No, it's finite. And just to kind of wrap, I am sitting here with this very vivid memory right now of sitting across your desk from you, and I think you probably know what's coming. We'd been out here for a little over a year, and Duff had actually just gotten her first gig. She had the 2-episode arc on Shameless, and she was starting to get some traction, and people were starting to notice her, and she was starting to get, like, the quality of the auditions was jumping up. And for personal reasons, she decided she wanted to take a breath and step back and stop auditioning.
I remember that call like it was yesterday.
And we're like looking at each other and both kind of breathing through it going, okay. Mm-hmm. And you said, you know what? If that's how she's feeling, she needs to do it. Mm-hmm. We'll be here. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you what that did for me as a parent to feel like, okay, I have that kind of support. I can do the right thing for my kid, which at this moment is stepping away from the industry and taking a breath and maybe or maybe not going back to it. Mm-hmm. But I've got support for doing the right thing by her. And that was when I felt like, okay, we can do this, because there are people here, you chief among them, that will support me in doing what's right for my child as a human first. And when you gave us that kind of support, I just felt like, all right, this is all going to be okay, because we're going to be able to take care of her as a human first. Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh, it touches my heart to hear you say that, because it's never easy when you've spent an amount of time to get someone someplace and you just see them about to take off and you know that you're going to have to start and push that rock up the hill from the start again. But first and foremost, we're here to advocate for the people that we take on. We are human beings, first and foremost, obviously, and we also are out for the welfare of our clients. And so it was always clearly going to mean more that she gets what she needs and that she's happy. And it makes me very emotional to hear that it meant so much to you. I'm thrilled that it did, but there is no other way. And what else could someone have said? And I'd be disappointed to hear it. But, you know, for you, you know, I'm sure you can speak about this a lot. It's very hard for the parent because it is your job to be there. You must be on set legally, so you have to be there, and it's your job to be invisible. So they want to say to you, you have to be there, but be invisible. And that is a very difficult thing for a parent to be and to do, and to then turn and have to call the agent that it was so hard to get in the first place and say, hey, you know how well we're doing? By the way, we're going to take a break. But it happens, yeah. And it happens all the time, and that's the way it is. And it happens with adults, too. We have adults that it happens to as well. So as you can imagine, adults, sometimes they'll have a baby or they'll have a, I mean, there's all sorts of, life gets in the way. Mm-hmm. So for sure, that's another thing to think about. You want to make sure that you have representation that is going to stick with you. Be by your side through it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, means everything. Thank you so much with us today, Pamela.
I'm so happy to be here.
Everybody, you should follow Pamela on social media. She's amazing. On Instagram and on Twitter, she's the same handle. It's just @thePamFisher.
I'm going to try to be better on my social media. I'm learning.
Thank you, Pam.
Thanks. Thanks, Bonnie.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, take a second and subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com, sign up at the bottom of the homepage, and you'll get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. If you're a young actor or just curious about how your favorite actors got their start, buy my new book, Young Hollywood Actors, on Amazon. And if you're the parent of a young actor, you can get the Hollywood Parents Guide on Amazon, too. Finally, for one-on-one coaching, invest in a consultation session with me over phone, Skype, or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. In 60 or 90 minutes, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.